Good morning. Welcome to you to the Lord's house on this beautiful Palm Sunday. If you haven't already done so, we'd like to invite you to please sign the friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it on for your neighbors to sign. If you're a first-time visitor this morning to Berry Christian Church, we'd like to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to honor your presence with a small gift that Lana will pass to you. If you'll simply raise your hand to let us know where you're seated. Can I have a show of hands of our first-time visitors? I know we have quite a few here for our baby dedication this morning. Awesome. Thank you so much for being here, folks. If anybody would like some additional information about our congregation and ministries, there's an information page inside the bulletin that you can fill out and place in the offering tray later in our service. Please be reminded that the Easter egg hunt for the children of our church and surrounding community will start at 3:00 this afternoon. The children will be blessed with the telling of the Easter story and crafts and snacks, and of course the Easter egg hunt itself on the North Lawns. We're grateful for everyone who made generous contributions of candy, and we certainly had plenty of it to fill the plastic eggs this past Thursday evening. Everyone is welcome to attend the Maundy-Thursday worship service at 7:00 this Thursday evening in the fellowship hall. As we sample various types of bread, we will explore the history and meaning behind bread as a staple of sustained life, and then explore why Jesus calls himself the spiritual bread of life. And the service will then close with the Lord's Supper. Please note that today is our last day to receive donations for the flowering of the cross, which will of course take place on Easter Sunday morning, this coming Sunday, at both the 8:30 and 11:00 services. Your contributions are essential to the success of this growing Easter Sunday tradition, as we need to purchase about 1,000 flowers to fill the crosses for both services. Please fill out the flyer in your bulletin and make out a check to Berry Christian Church. And if you would put in the memo line, flowering of the cross, and then place that in the offering plate later in this morning's service. There will be a listing of persons for whom donations have been made in memory of or in honor of. That list will be published in next Sunday's Easter worship bulletin. And on Easter Sunday morning, we will also have a brief sunrise service at 6:45 a.m. That will be in the parking lot just out the front doors here. And this will be followed by breakfast at 7:15, provided by the youth of the church and by the Ekrit family. Ladies, please check out the information for the ladies' spring tea, which is coming up on Saturday, April 14th. Tickets are on sale for that event back at the table this week as well as the next few weeks. Please also check out the announcements concerning the CWF regional meeting on April 26th and the June service project that's mentioned in the bulletin announcement page as well. Do we have any other announcements this morning? All right, Andrew.
Please rise for the call to worship. Rejoice, rejoice, people of Zion. Shout for joy, you people of Jerusalem.
Look, your king is coming to you. He comes triumphant and victorious.
But humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Your king will make peace among the nations. He will rule from sea to sea, from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth. Let us sing hymn number 129, stanzas 1 and 4.
Let new and nobler life
May we bow in prayer. O Lord, on this Palm Sunday, we celebrate the triumphant entry of Jesus into the city and into our lives. We get caught up in the excitement of the crowd and of the holiday season. We anticipate the victory over the forces of death that we know to be part of the Easter season of new life and new beginnings. But when the crowds have gone home, we shrink back into our comfortable lives, seeking to avoid the difficult life journey that we know lies ahead. It is uncomfortable for us to face betrayal, suffering, and death. We confess that we move too easily from the exuberance of Palm Sunday to the triumph of Easter. And so, dear Lord, we seek the courage to continue our walk with Jesus as we approach the cross. We seek to follow Christ and not betray him. Help us to empty ourselves of false intentions and to open ourselves to your will, just as Jesus Christ did. Walk with us, O Lord, and lead us from denial to affirmation and from death to life. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please take just a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship this morning. Please be seated.
We celebrate this morning as Wren and Katie come forward. God bless you all. God bless you. Good morning. Good to see you all. It's a wonderful occasion for us this morning as a moment is taken from our worship service as Ronaldo, you know him as Wren, Aller, Zumaeta, and Catherine, you know her as Katie, Michelle Turner, come forward for the service of dedication for their firstborn son, Mateo Eleuterio Aller Turner. And we also celebrate the tremendous support present for Mateo's dedication as we have both of Mateo's godmothers, Katie's sisters, Mandy Sidoris and Amy Turner here. God bless you both. And in addition to them, we also are blessed with a number of family members present this morning. First of all, on Mateo's maternal side is Mateo's grandmother, Mary Turner, Mateo's uncle and Mandy's husband, Joe, Mateo's cousins, the children of Mandy and Joe, Gabe, Logan, Oliver, and Layla Sidoris and Amy's girlfriend, Randy Fields, are all present this morning. And then on Mateo's paternal side, we are blessed with the presence of Mateo's grandfather and grandmother, Ed and Gladys Aller, Mateo's uncle, Rex Tuttle, Mateo's aunt, Wren's sister, Becky Tuttle, and Mateo's cousin, Becky's daughter, Becca Tuttle, all over here to this side here. We're so glad that all of you are present. God bless you. Thank you for being here in the Lord's house. Now that is one army of support, isn't it? We're just so blessed. And as Mateo is brought before the presence of God and before this congregation, may each of us prayerfully remember how children were brought before Jesus to be blessed. In that first expression of dedication, the eternal love of God was expressed by Jesus as he said, "Let the children come to me and do not stop them, because of these belong the kingdom of God." And so, in like manner, may each of us now accept this child and his family and their loved ones with our sincerest meditations before God. So, Wren and Katie, in your willingness to bring Mateo before God and these witnesses, you've already expressed a desire to proceed on the lifelong task of nurturing him in an atmosphere of Christian living. No task in life may be more challenging or rewarding. Carpenters build mansions and are dazzled at their splendor. Sculptors create statues and marvel at their form. But all these are timely and they crumble with age. But there is no task more endearing than the formation of a child's personality. For the jewel of the immortal soul prevails for all eternity, right? We praise God for that. And so with these thoughts in mind, do you, Wren, and you, Katie, pledge before these witnesses to nurture Mateo in a way of life befitting of the Christian faith, and pledge to maintain your home in a Christian atmosphere directed by God's love and grace? If so, just simply say, we do.
We do.
We do. God bless you, and we bless you and your devotion to Mateo. And also, Mandy and Amy, in the service, we also recognize the significant role that the two of you possess as Mateo's godmothers. For as Mateo matures, there may be many occasions in which your words and insights may offer sound guiding principles for him, when he may be seeking an alternate perspective from what he is experiencing with his parents. Additionally, if there is ever an unfortunate cause that may make it impossible for Wren and Katie to serve their parental roles during Mateo's formative years, you may be called upon to provide for his upbringing. And so with these thoughts in mind, do you, Mandy and Amy, pledge as Mateo's godmothers to offer your loving care and compassion? God bless you both in your commitment to Mateo. And Wren and Katie, in recognition of the occasion, it's my pleasure to present to both of you, and also to Mateo, this Bible children's storybook. It has a lot of big pictures and big words, because it'll be a wonderful way to be able to share the stories of God's relationship to humanity as he continues to grow up, right?
Yes.
In addition, there's also a certificate to remember this occasion. But what we know is that reading stories to our children fosters a genuine presence that no form of media can duplicate. In like fashion, the telling of these stories will give Mateo a storehouse of knowledge that will endure through his lifetime and help him establish a closer relationship with God. And now to the congregation, as we direct our thoughts to each of you, and to Mateo's family members and friends, we do ask you, do you pledge to offer your Christian support to this family, and especially to Mateo as he continues to grow and to be nurtured in the Christian faith? If so, respond by saying, we do. Praise God. And therefore, with the conviction on the part of Wren and Katie, Mateo's godmothers, Mandy and Amy, and many of his beloved family members and friends, and all of you in the congregation, we celebrate your commitment to raise this child in a Christian atmosphere. For we remember in Proverbs, the text of chapter 22, verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And Ardith, I would like to make a presentation of a rose on behalf of the Christian Women's Fellowship. Thank you. And may we have a word of prayer. Gracious God, as Wren and Katie and many of their family members and friends, and as this congregation of Berry Christian Church have come before you, we ask that your guiding hand may be forever upon them as each person in their own example strives to encourage Mateo on the pathway of Christian love and support. Guide them this day and always, for it is in the name of Christ that we celebrate Mateo's presence with us as a child of God. Amen. Let's give the family a hand. And I think it's time for our children's message, if our children will come forward. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Actually, as we prepare for our children's sermon, we're going to ask the kids to gather in the back of the church where Alan is standing. And we will welcome them forward as we sing from page 511, Strong, Gentle Children.
Strong, gentle children, God made you beautiful, gave you the wisdom and power you need. Speak in the stillness all you are longing for. Live out your calling to love and to lead.
Well, now, that's different, isn't it? Okay? But have you ever thought about what would have happened if Jesus had done that? Where would we be today? Would we have our sins forgiven? No. It wasn't because the nails held Jesus to the cross that he didn't come down. He had told them earlier the night before that if he needed to, he could call 12 legion of angels down from heaven to do whatever would be needed. That's 72,000 angels. And in one night, in the life of Hezekiah, one angel killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. So what could 72,000 angels do? Wow. But he stayed on that cross. He died for our sins in order that we can be here today with our sins forgiven. Isn't that a great way of showing his love for us? Yeah, that's showing his love for us. By dying on that cross, by staying on that cross, it was love, not nails, that held him to that cross. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Oh, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we just come to you now thanking you for this day. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for your Son and the love that he showed to us there on the cross, being made he who knew no sin to become sin itself, so that we might have our sins forgiven. Thank you, Lord, for that love. In his most wonderful and precious name we do pray. Amen. Okay.
As we have the privilege to go to God in prayer, we have a number of our people who are hospitalized. We want to lift up Freddie Nichols, as she's at North Kansas City Hospital, and she's dealing with some multiple fractures in the lower part of her back. Lois Rapp is also at the same hospital dealing with health concerns, and Betty Sillin is over at St. Luke's here on Berry Road dealing with respiratory difficulties at the present time. Additionally, we want to continue to remember Sheila Killian in our prayers. She is still trying to get some assessment from the folks at the Barnes Jewish Hospital in St. Louis to see about the possibility of a lung transplant. And Edna Williams is certainly in our prayers, as she's still dealing with the pressure wound that she's been dealing with. Oh, well, great, yeah. So I heard Edna was able to come for Sunday school. Great, wonderful. But again, being able to stay seated for a period of time, you know, that's got to have some limitations at the present time for her. So please, please keep her in your prayers. Certainly a number of other people we've been remembering as well as we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Holy and loving God, on this Palm Sunday morning, it is with eager anticipation that we, like the believers of Jesus' own time, wave the branches of palm trees, the ancient symbol in Palestine of kingship. Like them, we find ourselves shouting, as the Apostle John recorded in John chapter 12, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And like the followers of Christ centuries ago, we also realize that just as we find ourselves superimposing our own personal aspirations and expectations on the political leaders, the professionals, the employers, the parents, and even the children of our own time, we, like followers before us, also impose our personal desires and aspirations on your Son and our Savior Jesus. It is so easy to approach life from our own personal desires. And sadly, just like our ancestors, we too miss the mark of Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem, riding not on a horse like a victor claiming his prize, but rather on a donkey, expressing his desire to offer peace to all who would follow the truth of his loving and compassionate heart. May this Palm Sunday be different for us, O God, as we envision the truth of Christ's presence on Palm Sunday morning. For as Christ rode into Jerusalem on a donkey on Lambing Day, he declared for all time that he would be that final sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sin. May we, O God, in all humility, experience the profound love, grace, and peace Christ offers us as we take his hand and walk beside his gracious and compassionate presence this holy week and for the many weeks to come. With the peace and harmony of Christ our Lord, we offer this prayer as we also recite the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Joy has our reading this morning. Thank you, Joy.
Our reading this morning is from Zechariah 9, verses 9 through 10. And it's in your pew Bible on page 869. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Also, our second reading is from Luke 19, verses 32 through 44, and it can be found in your Pew Bible on page 959. So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." As he came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God."
Thank you.
Imagine once again the most captivating pain you've ever experienced. Kidney stones, childbirth, the pain of whacking the funny bone in your elbow. Now ratchet that pain up about tenfold and keep it going constantly for several hours. Only then can you master a glimpse of the magnitude of pain Jesus endured, not only at the cross, but during his scourging in Pilate's court before he trudged down the Via Dolorosa. The pain experienced on the cross was so extraordinary that a new word had to be invented exclusively to define it. That word is excruciating. Now, when you complain about having excruciating pain, how close do you really think your pain is to the violent, searing, piercing pain of Christ's suffering on the cross? Excruciating pain is the common denominator that cripples both the profoundly prosperous and the destitute, the high and mighty and the humble, the dreamer and the deceiver, the oldest and the youngest among us. Pain reminds us that we are truly human in a fallible and imperfect world. Yet it is also with profound humility that we remember the excruciating pain endured by our Lord Jesus, not for his own fame, fortune, or future, but the hope for us of eternal life. Our prideful ways are clearly diffused when we identify with Christ's excruciating pain, endured that we may humbly receive the bread and the cup of his sacrifice and be compelled to graciously serve others as we give thanks for what Christ has done for us. Our communion hymn this morning is hymn number 207. We sing stanzas 1, 2, and 4 of In the Cross of Christ I Glory.
Of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. All the light of sacred story gathers round its head sublime. When the walls of life take me, hopes deceive and fears annoy, never shall the cross forsake me, though it glows with peace and joy. Bane and
as we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Lana leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to this table again on this wonderful Palm Sunday,
And it's heavy upon our hearts. If we can only imagine the humility and the hurt and the just what he went through for us. And we just thank you for that unconditional love that he showed through all that. And may, as we live our lives, show that same love. We just come now as we take this bread and this wine, and in remembrance of that, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. And so we welcome all of you to share the elements of the Lord's table this morning. At the Last Supper, as it is recorded in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus said, as he gave the cup to his disciples and asked them to drink from it, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." When something is poured out, it's most difficult to take it back or to retrieve it. It's gone. It's given. As Christ poured out his blood for the forgiveness of our sin, may we be willing to pour out the tithe, the tenth of our resources, for the benefit of God's kingdom here on earth. May we offer a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Let us pray. Lord, we come together to give thanks for all we have. Now, as we give back, there is no gifts more important than the one that is given in your name to do your will. Bless these gifts and the giver in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord God, we pray that this offering is used for your glory now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. May we have a word of prayer. Gracious and holy God, it truly is our privilege to be here in your house on this Palm Sunday morning and to recognize that as Jesus made his journey into Jerusalem, he was seeking peace the world over. May we strive to offer our part of that peace in everything we do and say. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. It's always easy to do things the way we've always been doing it. It's far more difficult and takes courage at times to envision the accomplishment of something that appears to be the impossible or to achieve a task that is indeed great or a new reality for ourselves. There was once a young teenage girl who was abandoned by her family members. She found herself scrounging for a living in one of our large cities here in the country. She slept in the stairwells of apartment buildings, unable to attend school because she had no address, no family, seemingly no identity. Yet she snuck into classrooms trying to learn. She spent hours upon hours reading in the public library. Even as she tried to sleep in the cold, hard darkness, she daydreamed for hours of going to school and accomplishing a degree. And because of her persistence in time, she was discovered by caring people. She was given a home, given an education, and she graduated from Harvard University. True story. I have the book. Such an accomplishment for her was truly a fundamental shift from homelessness to a wonderful purpose in life. Like the teenager, we often need a vision of what we think can really happen. And we need to do what we can to help that vision come true. And on many occasions, that is a fundamental shift in the way things are today. For Jesus, Palm Sunday was and still is about creating a new vision about what community and the world could really be like. It was a desire for a fundamental shift. In Jesus' day, Palm Sunday, the day we celebrate today, was actually called Lambing Day. It was the Sunday prior to Maundy Thursday, or what we call Maundy Thursday, and what for them was called the Passover event. It was the day that the lamb was selected for the Passover meal. If your family was small, you would invite your neighbors, who may have also been small families, to gather with you. The idea was to have at least about 12 people or so gathered together to share in the meal, so that you realize that you are part of a community, that you're not isolated and alone. If you were one who was blessed with an extended family, then all of your family members just gathered together and shared the Passover. The whole purpose of the Passover was to remind the Hebrew people that God was the one who was going to free them from Egyptian bondage. The sacrifice of the lamb was made to show that God was making provision for the people as they were to go out of Egypt into the Promised Land. And the blood of the lamb was spread on the door frames of every believing family to ward off the angel of death as the angel of death passed through the city streets throughout the portions of the Egyptian area, as well as even the areas of the Hebrew slaves. And the firstborn was taken for every household where the blood of the lamb was not displayed. When Jesus came into the city gate of Jerusalem on Lambing Day, he was proclaiming that he was then now the final sacrificial lamb. There would be no need for sacrifices henceforth, as he would be the one who would become the Messiah and the Savior of the world. And when Jesus rode into the city gate of Jerusalem, he rode on a donkey, making a proclamation. Instead of riding on a horse as a conquering king, he rode on that donkey, which was a symbol of peace, indicating a desire to cooperate and to work with people and to cultivate a measure of peacefulness among all. But yet we know what happened as the events of Holy Week unfolded. That fundamental shift toward peace that Christ offered would not happen. It was the leaders of his own people that insisted that the Romans put Christ on the cross, for Jesus' ways threatened their position, their power, their authority over the Jewish people. Their alliance with the Romans and the grandeur of their prosperity through all that was taking place in the temple rituals had made these leaders quite wealthy. Jesus the Christ, Jesus, he was a threat. He had to be eliminated. History has shown us that fundamental shifts from the way things were to a new way of visioning, believing, and doing are indeed possible. The controlled use of fire, the invention of the wheel, iron, steel, asphalt, concrete, automobiles, all fundamental shifts in the way people live. Microchips, satellites, trips to the moon and back. Much of it dreamt up out of necessity to solve a problem, conceptualized, analyzed, and envisioned in the mind, and then with the making of prototypes, an idea becoming a reality. In the early years of World War II, German U-boats destroyed thousands of tons of goods, and thousands of people's lives were lost as ship after ship on the Atlantic Ocean was sunk. With the aid of an encoding machine known as the Enigma, the Germans were able to communicate with their U-boats, their generals, their troops, at will, without any concern about interception or interference from the Allies. The Western world was being taken over. The Overland Enigma machine was capable of devising over 150 trillion different combinations of encoding to scramble and then reassemble messages for the German troops. The Enigma that was used by the U-boats had an even greater number of combinations, 6 trillion combinations. That's a number with 21 digits. Boy, we don't want the national debt to get that high, do we? Mercy. With pencil and paper, if the mathematicians and scientists of the Allied forces tested possible combinations of rotors and plug board settings every second, every day for 28 trillion years, there would still have been 55 billion untested combinations. And even if they were somehow able to decipher a single letter in a single word after 28 trillion years, they would have to start all over again for the very next letter of the alphabet. You kind of get an idea of just how much difficulty the Allies had in trying to break the Enigma code? A fundamental shift was necessary. Primitive computers had been around for decades, but there was a need for a programmable computer in which scientific tasks could be inputted to achieve desired results. That new device became known as the Turing machine, and by working with combinations of words put into continually used phrases by the Germans called cribs, the programmable computer, capable of working thousands upon thousands upon thousands of times faster than the human brain, made the breaking of the German Enigma possible. And from that point on, all the movements of the Germans were already known before they ever moved. You see, solving the Enigma was made possible because mathematicians and scientists could visualize how a series of zeros and ones could be used to master calculations much faster than the human brain was ever capable with pen or pencil and paper. A fundamental shift took place. The most recent shootings and bombings and acts of war clearly reveal that humanity is still far away from the possibility of a peaceful coexistence, which is desired by so many people here on earth. Yet on this Palm Sunday, as we envision Jesus riding into Jerusalem on that donkey, we must know that Jesus offered up a possibility of a fundamental shift in the way people work with one another, the way people act with one another, the way people serve one another, that there might in fact be justice and peace. The prophecy of Zechariah chapter 10, verse 9 says, "Rejoice, rejoice, people of Zion, shout for joy, your people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He comes triumphant and victorious, humble, but riding on a donkey." Again, the donkey of peace. "Your king will make peace among the nations. He will rule from sea to sea, from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth." A fundamental shift of peace often seems impossible, but a fundamental shift begins where? It begins with the individual. It begins with a small collective. It begins with a little bit larger group, and then a larger group, and then a larger group. Just those, as those scientists and mathematicians, they all got together and they worked to try to devise in their consciousness what they thought was a possibility. And it became reality. So it is with the peace that Christ desires. The peace that Christ desired as he rode into Jerusalem, not on a horse as if he was claiming some victory, but on a donkey, asking the people to envision the peace that was possible if we would only follow his ways. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6, prophecy. It was a prophecy about a fundamental shift toward the ways of Christ. As the text says, "In that day the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion. And a little child will lead them all." We've been blessed this morning with the privilege to dedicate Mateo. And as you saw Mateo in his gentle ways, and as you can think of your own children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren, you know, when we watch our children resting, just sleeping, we think, oh my, isn't it wonderful to just be able to be at that level of peace? And yet, we envision God seeing all of his children, and yet what he wants more than anything is for us to experience that peace. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is your day to come forward and become a part of the fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I want to extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitation. It's number 190. Let us stand and sing stanzas 1 and 3 of "Tell Me the Stories of Jesus." Hymn number 190. May we stand and sing, please.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Seeds by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me. Into the city I'd follow the children's band, waving a branch of the palm tree high in my hand. his heralds. Yes, I would sing loud his hosannas, Jesus is King.
Reminders again this afternoon, 3 o'clock, Easter egg hunt for all of our children and the children of our neighbors as well. Hope you'll come and join us. Again, I know it's a little chilly for Easter egg hunting, but you know, the hunting part goes by quick and the kids can run quick, right? They won't be cold. So please come. We've got a number of activities in the fellowship hall prior to the Easter egg hunt. And so we'll have a fun time this afternoon. Remember again, this is Holy Week. So on Monday, Thursday, we've got our service at 7 o'clock in the fellowship hall again this year. Again, we're gonna talk about the essence of Christ as the bread of life and experience that with the sharing of various breads and closing up, of course, the Lord's Supper Thursday. Then come Sunday, we've got that early service, 6:45, followed by breakfast. And then, of course, our other services at 8:30 and 11. Again, we are flowering the cross this year. Once again, at the 8:30 and 11 o'clock service, we certainly need some financial assistance to pay for those 1,000 flowers we need to flower the crosses. So if you haven't made a contribution to that yet, please do so. We'd sure appreciate your assistance. Thank you for being in the Lord's house. And Wren and Katie, God bless you all, and Mateo. And we're so delighted that so many of your family members and friends are here. God bless you. May we pray. Lord, as we depart, your Spirit empowers us to experience the fullness of your grace and indeed your peace in Christ, who is indeed our Lord and Savior. It is in his name that we rejoice and give thanks as we depart this Palm Sunday morning. Amen.
God, dismiss us with your blessing. Fill our hearts with joy and peace. Let us each your love possessing, triumph in redeeming grace. Oh, refresh us, oh, refresh us, traveling through this wilderness. Thanks we give in adoration for your gospel's joyful sound. May the fruits of your salvation in our hearts and lives abound. Ever faithful, ever faithful, to the truth may we be found.